Hi, this is Joe Castellano. Welcome inside China Basin, your San Francisco Giants three times a week podcast on thesportsvirus.com, featuring Giants players like all-star catcher Buster Posey.
It's about, you know, just going out and trying to have passion for the game that I've loved since I was a kid.
Giants third baseman Matt Duffy joins us each homestand.
I think when I'm going best is when I'm just staying short, trying to hit the ball right back up the middle and seeing it well.
And San Francisco Chronicle columnist John Shea is our regular guest, too.
Bumgarner, he's a god, isn't he? He does all these things that no other humans do.
Inside China Basin is brought to you by Toscalito Tire and Automotive, with four Marin locations, plus the marina in San Francisco, and Vallejo. Toscalito, more than just a tire store. Tamron Lenses and Keeble and Shuckett Photography in Palo Alto. They have the perfect lens for you. Today we had an on-site podcast at Keeble and Shuckett Photography in Palo Alto with John Shea from the San Francisco Chronicle as our guest. Here was part one. Let's start out, John, talking about what's been going on with this team lately. This team has been hot. I mean, they have won 11 of the last 12 games, and it's been kind of bizarre because they're not getting a whole lot of offense. I think the last 16 games, they haven't scored more than five runs, but they're getting great, great pitching. They're getting complete games from Johnny Cueto, just like we saw on Monday, Madison Bumgarner in a 1-0 game. So they've won back-to-back 1-0 games. That's not going to happen all season, but might as well take advantage of this great pitching while you have it.
This was supposed to be one of the most well-rounded lineups in the National League, if not all of the major leagues. Yet, you're right, over the past 15 games, they're averaging about 2.5 runs a game. And that doesn't usually get it done. That's good for a fourth, fifth place team. But for this team, when you're getting this rotation and doing, I mean, basically giving the bullpen off day after day after day, it's out of this world right now, because 1 through 5, let's check that, 1 through 4, let's keep PV out of this conversation for now. You have
we'll get
pitchers who are putting the team in position to win every single night, and that didn't happen on a consistent basis when the season began.
This team is playing great defense right now. It's not just about the pitching. I mean, they're making plays all over the field. Brandon Crawford, he's Brandon Crawford, you're expecting it. But, I mean, he's making amazing plays to his left, to his right. Duffy the other day, diving play. In center field, we saw Span backing up, you know, almost falling back and making a Willie Mays-type catch. I mean, everybody's contributing defensively. Does that kind of get lost when we look at all the stats and everything? We look at pitchers, complete games, we're looking at ERAs, we're looking at so many things. But I guess this doesn't get lost on Bruce Bochy and Giants management, because it's really helping them win to be in first place right now.
And the one pitcher who talks about that after every start is Jeff Samardzija. Remember, he had like the worst ERA in the American League, gave up the most home runs in the American League last year. I mean, all these stats he was dead last in. And they, what do you get, a $90 million contract?
Right,
that's
right.
Pretty good for being last in many categories. But I think the Giants realized that the White Sox had an inefficient defense, including a catcher, including on the infield. And he comes here, it's maybe a slow infield, a slow grass, not many runs. It's a pitcher's park, but he's doing the same thing on the road. But after every start, he commends that infield. And you talk about Gold Glovers, the only one with one is Crawford. But there's going to be more. Last season, three of the four were among the top three finalists, including Belt at first and Duffy at third. Why wasn't Panic in there? Well, he missed the last few months. He was hurt. But I imagine he would be over a full season. So that's three guys, four guys who were top three at their position in the league. And that says, like, fun to watch. I was on the trip in Arizona and San Diego last week. And I just put down my pen, put down the computer. Ground ball, it's a must watch, because they're turning double plays. It's so swift, it's clean, and the essence of defense and glove work, it's just beautiful to watch right now.
Yeah, they really complement each other well. I mean, and they appreciate the abilities of the other players. I mean, I know talking to Matt Duffy, who comes on our podcast regularly, he was surprised by that Joe Panik hook shot toss to second. And, you know, each guy has his own abilities, but they make spectacular plays out there. I mean, it's really fun. I don't know that I can compare any other Giants infield to this one in their history. And even just looking around, you know, in baseball history, I remember when Cal Ripken was playing with Roberto Alomar in Baltimore. That was great. And, you know, there are some that you can kind of point to. But right now, all around that infield and even in the outfield, they're getting great defense.
Will Clark, Robbie Thompson, Jose Uribe, Matt Williams. I mean, at the time, you were saying, I mean, the Mets had a real nice infield at the time, but you were saying that's top notch. Again, at the time when they were in their prime, all were pretty much Gold Glove worthy. You know, that was the year, that was the time Sandberg, no matter what, would get it. I mean, that was a kind of a rough time to get a Gold Glove back when Rafael Palmeiro played 20 games at first base and he was the Gold Glove first baseman. That's when coaches and managers got together and maybe didn't have enough information and just say, well, okay, Ozzy, Sandberg, Matt, you know, the same guys would win it every year. But now there's a lot more detail involved. There's a lot more numbers and a lot more research going behind these things. But, yeah, that was a good infield. But this one is, again, they're all in their 20s. They all are pretty much staying healthy. And, you know, Panik had the back issue last year, but he's apparently gotten over that. And now it's just a matter of, you know, staying strong the rest of the year. But, you know, pitcher's best friend, right? A good defense, double play. Crawford, like you said, he has a great arm. You know, there's nothing wrong about him. A lot of numbers, a lot of advanced metrics would suggest he's the best defensive shortstop in baseball, and that says a lot.
We'll have more with John Shea from the San Francisco Chronicle right after this.
You have to admit, collecting World Series titles is a new trend for the Giants, but at Toscalito Tire and Automotive, they've been winning since 1971 with quality tires and reliable auto and light truck repair at 6 Bay Area locations near you. Toscalito Tire and Automotive will take care of you like family. After all, this is a family business started by two nice Italian boys, Ken Toscanini and Vince Ippolito, who combine their skills, knowledge, passion for cars, and their names to create Toscalito Tire and Automotive. With 4 Marin locations, plus the marina in San Francisco and Vallejo, Toscalito, more than just a tire store.
We're here at Keeble and Shuckett Photography in Palo Alto, 290 South California Street. So if you're just hanging around, get off your computer and come on down here. We've got free t-shirts, thesportsvirus.com. You can check out all of their cameras here and all of the accessories that you need as far as photography. And by the way, come down to Keeble and Shuckett June the 3rd and 4th for the Bay Area Photo Expo. Great deals on all the major camera and lens brands, over 30 photo class offerings, and a classic car show on Saturday, June the 4th. Go to their website, kscamera.com, or Facebook for more details. And Bay Area Photo Expo June the 3rd and 4th at Keeble and Shuckett. And that's right where we are, 290 South California in Palo Alto. Now, we're lucky to be here, and the Giants were lucky to win that game on Monday because that was a nothing-nothing game. They win with Hunter Pence as a pinch hitter. He's got a little hamstring problem, hopefully nothing too serious, but it's a little pop-up. And because they're playing no doubles defense in the outfield, that ball drops in, and Matt Kemp, to his credit, you know, blamed himself, said, I should have caught that. But when things are going great, balls like that just drop in. It is a weird sport in a way where you can get lucky like that.
Yeah, maybe with better reads, the second baseman has it. Maybe with the better reads, the right fielder has it. You could tell Pence was not happy after that contact. He kind of threw down his bat, put his head down, ran to first base. A few seconds later, he looks up. He just got a walk-off double. Right. Not a single, but he hustled to second base in time before the run scored, so he's actually awarded a double. But, yeah, funky game. And that's, you know, when I saw that, I said, this is like the division series. Remember Cincinnati? Remember Atlanta? Remember Washington? It didn't matter what the Giants did. It just seemed to work out. And if it took the manager making a bad decision, like Matt Williams, or the Braves infield just falling apart, or you know, the Reds giving up a 2-0 lead in a best-of-5 series and going home for the next 3 games, it just seemed all things are working for the Giants in the division series. And lately, it's been like the division series for the Giants because everything has been going their way.
Well, they wouldn't be in that position without Johnny Cueto. I mean, this guy has just been remarkable so far. I mean, you know, he signed a big contract, so you expected him to do well. But, I mean, he's shutting down opponents. He's going all the way for complete games. He definitely has the Padres' number. He's pitched three complete games against them. Has he exceeded your expectations?
Yeah, I mean, we saw him in Cincinnati, a very good pitcher. We saw him in Kansas City, not a very good pitcher until the World Series, when he was a very good pitcher again, just at the right time, and got a ring for it. But yeah, I mean, maybe in a smaller market, he wasn't as noticeable. You didn't see him as much, but the numbers were always there, and he always pitched well in NL West parks, and he's doing it the same again. You know, against Colorado, Arizona, and, you know, these numbers don't lie. He's doing it again. Yes, the Padres are down again, and the Giants always take advantage of the Padres. If you look at their numbers, whether it's Lincecum, Kane, Bumgarner, all these guys, they always seem to clinch a division against the Padres. They always seem to get the best of them. They always seem to throw no-hitters against the Padres. So if the Giants ever left the American League, they would only go if the Padres came with them.
More with San Francisco Chronicle columnist John Shea in just a moment.
Hey, how'd you get those cool new shirts for the trade show so fast?
Access!
Who makes all that great clothing for high schools and colleges?
Access!
How do I get my company logo embroidered on some nice polo shirts?
Access!
Access Uniforms is your go-to resource for customized clothing. Just call us to find the right product, email your artwork, and your order will be on its way directly from our factory right here in Burlingame. Call Access Uniforms at 877-755-LOGO. That's 877-755-L-O-G-O.
Getting back to baseball is weird. By the way, that was a quote from Buster Posey when you asked him some question about some stat. I can't remember. I think it was last year. He said, baseball is weird, John.
That's right.
That was his answer. And baseball is weird. I mean, the Giants winning that game. And baseball is weird when you're winning 11 out of 12 and you're not getting a whole lot of hitting. But that could definitely be a problem if you start to look throughout the whole season. The Giants are going to need to hit better. I mean, these batting averages are down, and all throughout baseball it seems that way. But, you know, Matt Duffy's not hitting the way he's capable of right now. Even Span is not. You know, he's normally a 300 hitter. You know, you kind of go up and down. There's a lot of guys that aren't hitting as well as they can. And Buster Posey, his numbers are not what he normally has as far as driving in runs. And, you know, so what do you think it is? Is it just the ebb and flow of the season, or are these guys just in kind of a funk altogether?
Well, you know, as they always say, over 6 months, you know, numbers correct themselves. You have a quick start, you're going to come down. If you have a slow start, you're going to come up. And these guys aren't to the point where they're in their mid to late 30s, or even in most cases, their early 30s, where they're, you know, pushing the door and they're going to be out of here soon. These guys mostly are in their 20s, in their prime, and we're talking Posey, we're talking everybody on the infield. You know, the outfield is a little bit up there in age, but not to the extent where, you know, it's going to be the end soon. So I imagine, you know, in time those numbers will get back to what you would see normally on the back of a baseball card if there are kids still buying baseball cards. But with Posey, you know, especially with Posey, the runners in scoring position numbers just are not there. And I've had multiple conversations at his locker about that subject, and he puts it on himself. He doesn't make excuses. He just says, I got to get better at it. So, you know, I imagine in time he will. It doesn't seem like he's pressing. He says he has good batting practice. He said his timing is fine, and sometimes that's all cyclical. Once the top guys in the lineup start producing on a regular basis, you know, then it's a flow of the 3, 4, 5 guys kicking in, and then the back end with Bochy's pitcher hitting eighth concept. And, you know, that might be on hold for a while now because Pagan is hurt again with the hamstring.
Yeah, speaking of Pagan, he will be on the podcast next week. We have a great list of guests next week, by the way. Angel Pagan, who I talked to recently. Chris Shaw, who's tearing it up with the San Jose Giants. He was a first-round pick last year. He's got great power, first baseman. You'll hear from him next week. And also Paul Bird, former Major League pitcher, now on the Braves pregame postgame as the Giants are playing the Braves next week. But as far as Pagan, one thing I want to mention from that podcast that you'll hear, I asked him about batting averages. And does he look at it during the year? And he said, no, he never looks at his batting average the entire season. I don't know if I believe him, but can you imagine? I don't know if there are a lot of guys like that that just don't even look at it. It's everywhere on the board. You know, you go to the plate, you have a gigantic number standing there in center field that you're going to ignore. You think there are other players like that?
Well, we were always taught to believe that when players say, I don't read the newspapers, don't believe them. Now if they say, I don't read my phone, the game stories in my phone, don't believe them. And when they say, I don't know what my numbers are, I don't know. I mean, it's up there on the scoreboard every time you walk to the plate.
Right.
Even when you go in the dugout and you just made an out, you look up, there's your new batting average updated. It's really hard not to know exactly what you're doing because guys like me will remind you.
Well, I don't know about you, John, but when I was playing, you know, Little League or even when I played semi-pro ball, I was figuring out my batting average like as the game was going on.
Right.
I
mean, when you're on second base.
Oh, no, I'm down to 200 right now.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm surprised that he said that. What does this series win against the Cubs mean? They took two out of three. ESPN made a big deal out of the series, of course, saying, you know, oh, this could be a preview of a playoff series,
sure.
Which, you know, I think we both agree with that. But, you know, it's a series in May. Does it mean anything? You know, does it mean something?
Yeah. When I asked that question when I was on the road with these guys, you know, they beat up on the Diamondbacks and they beat up on the Padres. And I asked Bochy, I said, is this a good test for you guys? He said, you know, in May it's too early for a test. But then some players after the 7-game road sweep kind of said, yeah, it is a pretty good test. And it is a test for May. If it's September, it's a bigger test because you might face them 2-3 weeks from now. But now you wouldn't face them in the playoffs for months to come. They did what they were supposed to do. They lost the opener to Arrieta. They beat Lester, and Lester was kind of his old self, right? The not so good self of last year. He's started much better this year, and he was pitching well before the second game. Kane got the best of him. Kane's been doing great. And then the third game, you know, we know what happened there. So they win 2 out of 3, and that's about as well as you could expect for playing the best team in baseball. But the Giants are the hottest team in baseball. So those forces together, you know, it could have gone either way.
Yeah, it was a great series. There were a lot of Cubs fans in the stands, by the way. I was surprised by that. I mean, they sell out AT&T Park every game. How'd they all get their tickets? I couldn't figure that out.
Well, do they sell out every game? I wasn't aware of that. I look up at game time, and I see an awful lot of empty seats. How does that work again?
I'm not sure.
Yeah, it's a virtual sellout.
We'll have more with John Shea from the San Francisco Chronicle right after this. Hey, Giants fans, whether you're taking pictures of Little Leaguers or the pros, Tamron Lenses and Keebler & Shuckett Photography have the perfect lens for you. The award-winning Tamron 16-300mm all-in-one zoom is more versatile than your basic kit lens. With amazing Tamron quality and image stabilization, you'll never need to switch lenses again, whether they are sliding into home or making a spectacular catch at the wall. Your Tamron lens will catch them all. Tamron has lenses for all of your photographic needs, and you can get your Tamron lens at Keeble & Shuckett Photography in Palo Alto. Contact them at www.kspphoto.com. Let's talk about the Giants rotation. We already mentioned Johnny Cueto being great.
Yeah.
Madison Bumgarner has been pretty much Madison Bumgarner, although he has been saying he doesn't have his mechanics the way he would like them, but he's still been pretty darn dominating. And he needs that edge, I guess, to get mad at somebody. You saw it. You were in San Diego with the Will Myers incident, which I don't know how it even became an incident. Will Myers wasn't happy at himself for striking out, and Bumgarner took exception to that. That's happened before. And if you listen to the last podcast, we had the Bruce Bochy soundbite talking about how he wants his guys just to be themselves. Mm-hmm. He's not really concerned too much, although he doesn't want to see the benches cleared. This whole, you know, intensity that Bumgarner has, how do you look at it? Helpful, you know, sometimes a little bit dangerous?
Neither Bochy nor Posey nor anybody else on that team would go up to him and say, hey, don't do that. So whether they're intimidated by him or they're just going to let him be because he succeeds doing that, you know, whatever. But I think it's a situation. It's happened so many times, you know, Jason Hayward, Puig, and now Myers, and a couple more before that. It's as if he thinks that for anybody to be upset after making an out against him is a crime, because he thinks that they should believe any hit is luck anyway. So he gets down on people for getting upset or throwing the bat or cussing at themselves because they just made it out and thought they should have done better. And Bumgarner's thinking, no, you shouldn't do better because you're facing me. It's an odd thing, but that's just the
mentality.
Does he
just need an excuse to get mad? Like you, I think, had a quote from him, just needed to get mad, you know, to fire himself up.
For a minute.
Okay.
He says, I needed a reason to be mad for a minute. And he was mad for a minute. Because if you saw him a few innings later, he was yucking it up with Myers at first base after he got aboard. So afterward, Bochy's saying, oh, that's just him. I talked to Posey the next day. That's just him. You talk to Bumgarner. He says, you know, we were talking about dinner plans, and he didn't have any idea, so I got mad. Yeah, right. Whatever. But he's, you know, both from North Carolina, too. This isn't somebody that he's never heard of or from a different part of the world or doesn't know anything about. This is his fellow statesman, and
doesn't matter.
Myers thought, you know, he's probably thinking, what are you mad at me for? He just got me out. He claimed that he was looking up at the mile per hour reading, you know, past Bumgarner's head to see how hard that pitch was, just to gauge, you know, the swing he put on it. It was a big swing, by the way, and Bumgarner doesn't like people taking big swings, I guess.
Well, speaking about being mad for a minute, somebody who's been mad for way more than a minute, New York minute or otherwise, is Jake Peavy. I mean, he's probably been mad the entire season. He's had basically one really good start, another one that was acceptable. But that's it. He's been getting crushed. Yet, Bruce Bochy is sticking with him. You got to give Bruce credit, because if he does bounce back from this, Bruce Bochy's going to look great. He did it with Matt Cain. He didn't pull him out of the rotation. Yeah. And Cain's been great now the last three outings. But with Peavy, how do you see this playing out? Because he just can't keep going along with an 80 ERA and still pitching in this rotation.
Yeah, I mean, when they bunch those two together, four and five, not splitting some margin in between them, they figured one of those guys was going to do well to start off, so that it wouldn't look so bad to have them both start poorly, and they both started poorly. They both had awful Aprils. And then, like three starts ago, they both had decent starts. Cain has had three great starts.
Yeah.
A sub-2 ERA, 17 strikeouts, four walks in his last three games. But Peavy has only had one little good game in there, and he hasn't rebounded. And now I'm hearing, well, there's not enough time between starts for his old body to get back. There's 4 days. I mean, that should be plenty, but he's at the age. And, you know, he's not 39. He's mid-30s. But there's a lot of mileage on that arm. He's been around for a long, long time, has had a lot of success, thrown a lot of innings, but it seems to be catching up on. And it kind of reminds me of Tim Hudson last year, where they eventually put him on the DL. And I went up to him, I said, Tim, was that a shoulder that they put you on? He said, yeah, go with that.
go with whatever you want.
Okay, so this is kind of one of those made-up things just to give him some rest. And you've been a trooper. We're not going to release you. You can hang out with us. And you wonder if that's going to happen. I mean, it's too early. I mean, this was like August when they did that to Hudson. And it's May now. But do they have guys knocking on the door in AAA? Blackburn, Heston, I mean, nobody just needs to be here now. And he's got a couple of starts now. Atlanta is one of them. That, you know, maybe he's gonna face teams that are just not the Cubs again. So you figure, and Bochy swore that he was not going to take him out the last time he was asked a couple of days ago. So he's going to be in for the long run for now, and they could probably afford to keep one guy who's bad 2 out of 3 times, because they have 4 guys who are pretty much good every night.
But do you think that if Heston had been pitching great in April, he would have taken over by
now, maybe, right? Maybe. But see, the thing is, let's not forget that he makes $10 million a year. So it's not like a guy making $500,000 or even $2 million or $3 million where they can just push off and say, well, I mean, this is a big-time investment. And there's a reason they didn't bring Lincecum back. Well, there are many reasons they didn't bring Lincecum back. But one of them is they're paying all these 5 guys. Bumgarner's at least paid guy on the in the rotation, if you believe, but you know, the most valuable pitcher gets the least amount of money, and very team friendly contract. But it's I don't see a change in the short term, because they're winning, you know, despite that. Just like Bochy says, I'm not going to rearrange my lineup because this guy is struggling or that guy is struggling, because we're winning despite all that.
You know, Matt Vasgersian from MLB Network was on this podcast on Monday. And he said, and he knows Peavy pretty well because he was the broadcaster in San Diego.
Right.
He said that Peavy would be accepting of going to the bullpen if that was necessary. And, yeah, of course. I mean, he's getting paid all that money. He should be accepting. But, you know, having your heart in that is a different story. I don't know if any of us can really know if Peavy would still have his heart in being a great bullpen member after failing as a starter this year, if that's the case.
Ryan Vogelsong didn't have his heart in relieving last year when they sent him to the bullpen. And he wouldn't have signed anywhere unless they pretty much guaranteed him a spot, which Pittsburgh did this year. Unfortunately, he got hit in the head the other day, and he's going to be out for a while. But, yeah, when you're at that age and you've had so much success in the rotation and they say, can you go to the bullpen? You say, sure, but you're putting your head down and say, really? You know, and it's you know, it's really a kick in the gut because, you know, that's a big-time demotion. And long relief is basically jobs that go to people who don't succeed in the rotation.
That's San Francisco Chronicle columnist John Shea, and we'll hear part two of this conversation from Keeble and Chuck at Photography in Palo Alto on Friday. For now, I'm Joe Castellano. Thanks for listening to Inside China Basin on thesportsvirus.com.